மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கதேவாய தஸ்மை நமஹ. ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. ஓம் கர்ம சந்நியாச யோகோ நாம பஞ்சமோத்யாயஹ. Here, the fourth chapter is Jnana Karma Sanyasaha and the fifth chapter is Karma Sanyasaha. So what is the difference? There Krishna emphasizes renunciation of actions is not possible physically, but renunciation of actions through knowledge means understanding the fact of self being free from doership and enjoyership, thereby seeing the self, one's own self being free from doership and enjoyership, thereby having these notions, wrong notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc., resolved in the light of knowledge of what I am, is actually renunciation of actions through knowledge. See, once you know what you are essentially, the notion I am the doer will naturally resolve. I am the enjoyer will resolve. These notions will be there as long as you have strong identity with the gross body and mind and sense complex. See, helplessly, when there is ignorance of what I am, when you do not know what you are essentially, when I do not know what I am essentially, helplessly I have identity with the body mansions complex. I do take the body for the self. I do take the sense for self. I do take the, of course, mind for the self. I have very strong identity with the body mansions complex. Then helplessly I do entertain this notion. Not that we want to entertain the notion. Helplessly, we do entertain the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Then we have, I have karma, I have punyam, I have papam. These notions are very strongly ingrained in us. So as long as these wrong notions about the self are, we do have punyam, we do have papam, we do get afflicted by punya papa, we can't help even going through the samsara. Therefore, Shastra makes it very clear. So, we can never get rid of Sanchita Karma, Agami Karma, Parabdha Karma. We cannot undo Punya Papams. We cannot undo our Vasanas. We can undo anything. All that we can do is, we can only have a clear understanding of what we are essentially. Thereby, we can correct the error in perception of ourselves. All that we can do is we can only correct the error in perception of what I am, what the universe is. So, once the error in the perception of myself is corrected in the light of knowledge of what I am, then even the notions I helplessly entertain as I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all these notions will resolve. When these notions are resolved, you are free. You're free from bondage of karma. And that is what is actually said to be that sannyasa. That's what is renunciation of actions through knowledge means, discovering the freedom one already has in terms of what being freedom from the sense of being the doer and the enjoyer. This is what is jnana karma sannyasaha. Krishna unfolded there in that fourth chapter. But in the fifth chapter, Bhagavan, what he says, between these two disciplines, Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha, two disciplines, both disciplines are important for every individual. Every individual has to go through both disciplines sequentially, ultimately for attainment, for attaining moksha. So Karma Yogaha is an indirect means of attainment of moksha. By Karma Yogaha prepares the mind for jnanam. Whereas Jnana Yoga helps us attain the Jnanam, and which is itself is moksha. Then between the two lifestyles, this grihastha householder's lifestyle and sannyasa lifestyle, between the two also, every individual has to go through this grihasthashrama lifestyle, then one has to go through vanaprastha and sannyasa gradually in due course of time. Everyone has to go through four stages of life. You only have maturity. Whereas your person wants to skip the ashramas and straight away he wants to go to sannyasa also, he can go to sannyasa if he is qualified. So that Krishna emphasized, between these two lifestyles, karma yoga is better, which means a householder's life is always better, because householder's life, definitely, as a householder, a person lives a life karma yoga, definitely he will become qualified for jnanam. There's a possibility of attaining jnanam and moksha. Whereas the person without being prepared for sannyasa ashrama, he takes on to sannyasa ashrama life, then he cannot benefit, he cannot enjoy it, he cannot attain jnanam because he is not qualified for it. He cannot become qualified because he is not following the discipline of karma yoga. Okay, then he will be the loser. Therefore, Krishna praises this karma yoga very much in this, and which means he praises karma yoga means he emphasizes importance of every individual going through a life of a householder in order to live a life of karma yoga. That which you have seen already, this is the, and now, in these verses, Bhagavan has been glorifying the wise person, knowledge. We have covered already 12 verses. Sarva karmani manasa. So, Bhagavan emphasized that Arjuna, he told Arjuna, it's better to be a karma yogi. He said that in the previous verse. Now he continues. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi. Navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. Navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. I also said, and we have to read the 14th verse also together to get the complete meaning. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi. Navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. Now, we have to remember here, before entering into the meaning of these verses, Bhagavan discussed the disciplines required for the attainment of jnanam in the previous verses, in 5 verses. 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th. In 6 verses, Bhagavan discussed the disciplines as stages of the disciplines, different stages of disciplines, different disciplines. Karma yoga for mental preparation, jnana yoga for attainment of knowledge. And also, there living a life of householder, then living a life of sannyasaha, etc. Bhagavan discussed in the verses 7th to the 12th. And there, by going through this, by discussing those disciplines, Bhagavan actually emphasized the necessity, the importance of taking to a life of a householder, living a life of Karma Yoga. Now, here, this 13th verse onwards, okay, Bhagavan is going to discuss the Jnana Yoga. So, having discussed the Karma Yoga and a householder's living life, householder as a Karma Yogi, now here onwards, actually we have more verses here. 13th verse onwards until the 21st verse. And Bhagavan is going to discuss this next important discipline called Jnana Yoga. So Jnana Yoga is a discipline to be practiced by those people who are mentally prepared for knowledge and people who have lived a life of Karma Yoga as a householder, thereby who are prepared. And for them, the next discipline prescribed is the Jnana Yoga. Therefore, most generally, people do not understand the importance of this discipline called Jnana Yoga. That is why people will say bhakti is enough. You know, simply praying to the Lord is enough. Worshipping is enough, or going for pilgrimage is enough, living a life of dharma is enough, values are enough, no, being ethical is enough. No, they do not understand. They say it's all bookish knowledge, meditation is enough. All these people think, why? Because they generally, people do not understand the importance of this discipline called Jnana Yoga. What is Jnana Yoga? No, Jnana Yoga is a discipline followed for the attainment of knowledge of the self, knowledge of the truth. Yoga means that which actually a discipline. So that which serves as a means of the attainment of knowledge is called a discipline, called Jnana Yoga. This Jnana Yoga is a discipline to be followed for the attainment of knowledge. And it involves three steps. I told you Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. All the three steps together constitute this discipline of Jnana Yoga, which is the means of the attainment of knowledge. So Shravanam, and one should go through Shravanam first, then Mananam, then finally Nididhyasanam. Actually, Nididhyasanam means Upasanam, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam or Nirguna Brahma Dhyanam. Nididhyasanam is meditation, contemplation, because it's a purely mental activity. But what this meditation, contemplation is upon the nature of one's own self, a nature of the reality. So constantly, continuously, clearly dwelling upon the fact of what one's real nature is contemplation. Okay. Constantly, continuously dwelling upon one's real nature is contemplation. But dwelling upon one's own real nature is possible only if you have clear, doubt-free knowledge of what you are essentially. And for which you must have really first Nididhyasanam. Before Nididhyasanam, you must be convinced of the fact what you are essentially. Therefore, Nididhyasanam presupposes already clear, doubt-free understanding of what you are essentially. So meditation is not for knowing. Meditation is only for assimilating what you have already understood. And for which, for you to clarify your doubts and to be convinced of what you are essentially, you must have understood already what you are, for which you must have listened to the unfoldment of the Vedantic words, Upanishadic words. So Vedanta Shastram serves as a means of knowledge, Upanishads. Therefore, one has to understand, study the Vedanta Shastram, how systematically, regularly, continuously, for a length of time, one has to listen to the unfoldment of the teaching. Now, from a competent teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, it takes a time, repeated listening. No, for length of time is important, even for the mind to become subtle. In fact, only when you go through the discipline of Shravanam, Shravanam is a gerund in Sanskritam, which means listening, hearing, listening. Both words, you mean listening. You have to hear, you have to listen. Okay, you have to do both. So listening and hearing is important. Why? How we should listen? One has to listen to the unfoldment of the Veda Upanishads systematically, step by step, regularly, for a length of time. Then it is called Shravanam. When you start listening, in the beginning, we are very gross. Repeated listening, it does something that the mind, even mind becomes subtle. You'll be able to understand it, understand needs some time. So Shravanam one has to go through. So Shravanam gradually in due course of time will help you resolve the ignorance. So and the more you do Shravanam, ignorance resolves. There is knowledge. Definitely Shravanam will bless you with the knowledge. But even though Shravanam helps resolve the ignorance, knowledge does take place, but knowledge will not be clear knowledge. Knowledge may not be clear knowledge. So now, again, there may be a lot of doubts. It can be shakable knowledge for which one has to relive the Shravanam. One has to repeatedly reflect upon what one has heard and understood and retained. So that even people of different views, different schools of thought, even they come and argue or present their doubt, clarify also. We must be convinced clearly, doubtlessly, that what we understood is clear. Understood is right. And once the clear understanding is there, we are convinced of your understanding being clear, then alone you can repeatedly dwell upon what you have clearly understood, then assimilation is possible. So, in Vedanta Shastram, Vedantic meditation is possible only after you have clearly, doubtlessly understood what you are essentially, what everything is essentially. So, Nidhyasanam presupposes knowledge. What will you meditate upon if you do not know what has to be meditated upon? So, Shravanam is important, Mananam is important, for you to have understood clearly what is to meditate upon. Therefore, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam are three steps involved in this one discipline called Jnana Yogaha. So, Nididhyasanam, so Shravanam is for resolving the ignorance. Mananam is for clarification of doubts and for thereby having the knowledge, clear, doubt-free knowledge. And Nididhyasanam is to be practiced, followed for assimilating, ascertaining what has been clearly understood. So each step has its own, serves a purpose. There's a need. Why Shravanam? What Shravanam can do? What Mananam can do? What Nididhyasanam can do? All these three steps involved in this one, together form this one discipline called Jnana Yogaha. And once you dwell upon repeatedly what you have clearly understood, then and the understanding becomes assimilated, then you can never forget what is clearly understood. Then always such clear knowledge will be, ascertained knowledge will be always available for you handy. in every situation that you can be objective always. And being objective means not internalizing situations. When you do not internalize situations, you are always free. You're always free means you are not afflicted by anything. That unafflictability, non-afflictability, non-afflictedness is actually freedom. Freedom while living. You're objective. You will be objective. And that is the ultimate, that itself, that's why we say knowledge itself is freedom. And for attainment of knowledge, Jnana Yoga is the discipline. Here people, and then even attainment of knowledge is said to be the exalted form of devotion. So devotion must culminate in this ascertained vision of the truth. Therefore, bhaktihi, devotion is not a separate path. Even so, meditation cannot remove ignorance. Meditation is only a discipline to be practiced for, before the attainment of knowledge, meditation is practiced for steadying the mind. After the attainment of knowledge, meditation is practiced for assimilation of the knowledge. So meditation is not a means of attainment of knowledge. All these facts I've been talking to you for quite some time. All must be very clear. But people do not understand the importance of this discipline called Jnana Yoga. So Bhagavan in this context, what does he do? From this 13th verse onwards until the 21st verse, okay, almost eight verses, he's only discussing this discipline of Jnana Yoga. So here he begins. So what does he say? The important point here is there is no choice between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. There is no such thing called Bhakti, a separate path for the attainment of Moksha. Knowledge is Moksha. Attainment of knowledge is attainment of freedom. And for which one has to choicelessly go through this discipline called Shravanam. Mananam Nididhyasanam Jnana Yoga. Okay, that is important. In fact, the most important topic of the fifth chapter is this Jnana Yoga only. Jnana Yoga is the most important central subject matter of the fifth chapter. And Karma Yoga is only actually a secondary, another topic discussed incidentally in this chapter. Okay, this you have to remember. So the important central subject matter of the fifth chapter is Jnana Yoga. But Karma Yoga is also discussed incidentally. Therefore, we should remember now, there's no choice between these two. Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, between these two, there's no choice. Both are disciplines. Both have to be followed one after the other sequentially. Karma Yoga is a discipline to be followed in order to prepare one's mind. Then Jnana Yoga one has to go through for attainment of knowledge. Okay? Then knowledge itself is for moksha. What is for what? That must be clear. Moksha is our ultimate choiceless goal. For moksha, jnanam is the means. Knowledge itself is moksha. For jnanam, assimilated vision, nidhyasanam is the means. For before nidhyasanam, one must have clear knowledge for which mananam is the means. And before that, one must understand, first of all, ignorance has to be resolved, for which jnanam, shravanam is the means. And these three-stepped discipline of Jnana Yoga, one can go through, one can benefit from that discipline. Only a person must is prepared. One must simultaneously take care of one's preparedness for this Jnana. And that is possible only if a person lives consciously a life of karma yoga, dharma governed way of life. That is made very clear. Okay. Now let us see the meaning of this verse. So here, therefore, a person who is given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga is called Jnana Yogi. Okay. He can be a householder. He can be a sannyasi. Okay. One doesn't need to be the person who is given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga is called Jnana Yogi. He can be a sannyasi, he can be a karma yogi, but a householder. But what he says is, even if a person is a householder, if he is qualified for going through Jnana Yoga, if he is going through the discipline of Jnana Yoga, then definitely he is somewhat, a mature person who is also like a sannyasi only. Not that he'll be giving up everything, okay? What makes a person Jnana Yogi? Your Shraddha in Shastram. You are given to this discipline of studying, understanding, dwelling upon it, clarifying, assimilating all the time, then you are a Jnana Yogi. Okay? Now, so this is here. So what is it expected on the part of a Jnana Yogi? That is said in this verse. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. Look at this verse now. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya aste sukham. Sukham aste vashi. That's the first thing. Now we can say vashi. See that word now? Vashi. Vashi. Navadware pure dehi. Naiva kurvanna karayan. So, first take the aste. Aste means what? Aste means asti. Is. No? Remains. Stays. And who is there? Who remains there? How is the person? Sukham aste. He is happily. He resides happily. No, he remains happy. Happily he is there. So happily he is there means sukham aste. Who? Vashi. The vashi is a subject here. Vashi katham aste. Vashi sukham aste. Vashi sukham aste. Okay. Sukham katham sukham aste. How is he happy there? Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. See, sanyasyati. I want to understand this verb. Nyasyati. Nyasyati means places. Stop, keeps. But sanyasyati means renounces. Gives up. Sanyasyati is a verb. And sanyasya, having renounced. So renouncing. Having renounced or renouncing. Sarva karmani renounce. Renouncing what? Having renounced all actions. Sarvani karmani. When you make a compound, become sarva karmani. The objective, okay, objective case. Sarvani karmani sanyasyati. First sentence. Vashi sarvani karmani sanyasyati. The Vashi renounces all actions. How does he renounce? Does he renounce give up the activities physically? No. Physically, he does not give up any activities. Physically, he is doing all activities. But manasa sanyasyati. Vashi sarvani karmani sarva karmani manasa sanyasyati. So who is Vashi here? Vashi means the person who has self-mastery. The person who has mastery over the self. The one who has mastery over the self means one who has mastery over one's mind, body, mind sense complex. The person who has mastery over his mind and sense organs is called Vashi. Tan Vashatil Vaitavan. The one who has mastery over one's body, one's sense organs, one's mind. He is said to be Vashi. Meaning one who keeps them under his control. Literally, it means one who has them under his control. Which means he is not controlled by his mind. He is not controlled by his desires. He is not controlled by his emotions. He is not controlled by his bodily needs. Which means he is not controlled. He is not managed. But he is capable of managing them. The one who has mastery over them. He is called Vashi. So for a person to have mastery over one's body, mind, sense complex, what does it mean? He is not enslaved by his emotions. The person who is not enslaved by his emotions is said to be the one who has mastery over his mind. And he is the one who has mastery over his sense organs and also the body. And he is called Vashi. And that is possible only if a person has lived a life of karma yoga, strictly following dharma for a length of time. The person who has lived a life of karma yoga, strictly following dharma for a length of time, that he has that mastery, is a Vashi. Ahacha Vashi sanyasyati, he renounces all actions, not physically, mentally, manasa, sarvani karmani, vashi, sanyasyati. You have subject, object, verb there, isn't it? Vashi, manasa, sarvani karmani, sanyasyati. Then, because he renounces all his activities mentally, what does it mean? There's no notion on his part that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I suffer, I did it, my efforts. He does not entertain the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So without having these notions, he performs activities, is very active, all actions. Therefore, even though he is performing activities, he has known his actions mentally. Is it clear now? Performing actions without doing all one's duties, performing all actions to be performed, without entertaining the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is what is renouncing the activities mentally. Manasa sharirena na sanyasyati, dehena na sanyasyati, manasa sanyasyati. Manaha, manas, sakaranta shabda. What is the instrumental case of manas? Manasa. So mentally. Now it is an adverb now. Mentally having renounced all activities, this Vashi, the person who has mastery over his self, self-mastery, sukham aste, he remains, sukham happily, he remains with he remains happily means he remains without any disturbance. He remains without any disturbance means he remains comfortably. He remains comfortably. Okay? Comfortably. And who is this Vashi? No, the Dehi. Okay? Vashi means what? The Dehi. This person, the Dehi, the indweller, the person who has mastery lives in this body, lives here. How? Sukham. Sukham means without any discomfort, without any struggle and strain, without any, he comfortably, happily, he lives, he is there. Where Vashi, Dehi, Vashi, Sarvani Karmani Manasa Sanyasyati, Sukhena Aste, Sukham Aste. See, Sukham Aste, Sukhena Aste, both mean the same. Comfortably, he lives there. Kutra, Dehe, Pure, Navadware, Pure. Actually, Puram means city. Puram means city. So, the physical body is likened to a city. Navadwara Puram. Navadwara Puram means 9 entranced city, 9 gated city. Because we have 9 holes. Do you want to count which are they? The 9 holes are there in the physical body. The physical body has 9 holes. Therefore, this physical body is said to be 9 gated city. In this physical body, how you live in your house, inside your house, you live comfortably. In winter, where it's everywhere cold outside, you live comfortably inside. Which means you can move out. Isn't it? Like that here. Which means when you are living in the house means you are distinct from the house. Like that here. This person also, who has self-mastery and who is the indweller, who has self-mastery, lives sukham aste kutra navadware pure in this 9-gated city. When he lives there, how does he live? Naiva kurvanna na karayan, without doing any action. Okay? Kurvan, without doing any action at all, na karayan, without activating anyone also. Karayati means instigates the other person, instigates the other one, or makes the other one do, activates the other person, means karayati. Karoti does. Karayati makes other person act. So, causative verb is karayati. Karoti, karayati. Swayam karoti, anyan karayati. He himself does, may other people do. But here, this Vashi himself does not do anything. Swayam kimapi na karoti. Anyanapi na karayati. What does it mean? Physically he is doing everything, but mentally he has renounced the everything. Therefore, he is free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Therefore, what he did, without doing any action at all, naiva kurvanna, na karayanna, without instigating, without causing other people to do, without activating anyone else, anything else, without activating, without doing himself anything, this person in this 9-gated city of body, he lives with comfortably, having renounced all actions mentally. This is the literal meaning of the verse. So you can say, Dehi, Vashi, சர்வகர்மாணி மனசா சந்நிய நைவ குர்வன்ன ந காரயன்ன நவத்வாரே புரே சுகம் ஆஸ்தே இஸ் த லிட்ரல் மீனிங் அதே பர்ட் ஆஃப் த சென்டென்ஸ். So what is sarva karmani manasa sanyasya means this person has understood the fact, has discovered the fact. What's the fact? I the self, I the knower am distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex, and I the knower am atma the consciousness. And Atma, the consciousness, is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, I am Atma, which is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, I am actionless consciousness. This person understands this fact through Shravanam. Through Shravanam, he repeatedly listens to the unfoldment. He understands, I am Atma. You must have the clear understanding, isn't it? Yes, I'm an individual endowed with the body, mind, and complex. But I am distinct. I the knower. I'm distinct from the known body, mind, and complex. This I is consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. How you understand wave is water, the H2O, wave is H2O. So also I is consciousness, actionless consciousness. So I am actionless consciousness, implied by the term Atma, I am Atma. He understands this fact. Well, the fact is very clear. Now, what about the actions? Who is involved in performing activities? All activities, all actions are associated with the gross body and mind. You can say this karya karana sanghataha. Karya karana sanghataha means body, mind, sense complex. The physical body is involved in activities. Mind is involved in functions. The pranas are involved in functions. The organs are involved in functions. So the function of perception, sense organs are involved. The function, the activities, the powers of organs of actions are involved in activities. So body is activated. The mind is involved in functions. The mind as the remaining behind, as the strength behind the conscious mind, lending, making the body mind, body and sense organs conscious and sentient, mind activates the body. Okay. Therefore, body, mind, sense complex alone is involved in all forms of activities and functions. Therefore, it is nothing is done here. All that the person does is physically he is active. Only he shifts his eye sense from anatma, body, mind sense complex, the known inert material anatma, body, mind sense complex to atma, the consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. And this cognitive shift is possible because of this shravanam. Shravanam helps him understand the fact. Therefore, now, once understanding takes place, this person does not claim or activities as one's own. What happens? All the activities are, actually cognitively given to the body, mind, sense complex. Body is involved. Activities, actions, running, coming, going, etc. All these activities are actually cognitively attributed to the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, So body, mind, sense complex are low. See, without the blessing of Atma, body, mind, sense complex by itself cannot even exist. Therefore, cannot become conscious and sentient. They cannot be functional or active. But body, mind, sense complex alone is involved in activities. Atma is not involved in any activities. So without the Atma, body, mind, sense complex cannot even exist. Whereas the question of being functional, active, sentient and conscious. But at the same time, Atma is not involved in any activities. Atma is not at ease of the nature of actionlessness. This body, mind, sense complex alone is involved in all activities. Therefore, even the results of actions also belong to the body, mind, sense complex only. Therefore, the enjoyer of, the performer of activities is body, mind, sense complex. The enjoyer of results of actions also is body, mind, sense complex only. Okay? And this is not something new. It's already very clearly understood from second chapter onwards. Therefore, the wise person does not physically give up the activities, but mentally, cognitively gives up the activities. How? Seeing the fact of the self being free from doership and enjoyership. Then he attributes everything to the body, mind, sense complex. That is said, okay, when you say this wise person, this who understands the fact, who has understood the fact, I am Atma, which is of the nature of actionlessness, I am actionless consciousness, Atma, or understands the fact, he gives up actions mentally, means, you know, how does he give up his activities? How does he give up actions? It is said, not kayena, not dehena, not physically, but no, cognitively, intellectually, mentally, which means this person does not take actions, does not own actions as his own actions. He does not claim himself to be the doer or enjoyer, which means even though he's endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, he sees the self being distinct, detached from the body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, he understands, I does not act. I, the Atma, the consciousness, is not involved in actions. Okay, but in the presence of myself, in the presence of myself, the Atma, the consciousness, the body, mind, sense complex is active. All functions and actions are happening. Therefore, before the understanding takes place, we always entertain this notion, I am the doer, I function, I act, I run, I sit, I think, I eat, I digest, I act. This is the notion I had before the knowledge. But after the attainment of the clear vision, in the light of clear knowledge, you know, the understanding takes place that in my presence, in the presence of all pervasive reality, the consciousness implied by the term Atma, which is myself, in my presence, this entire karyakarana sanghataha, this body, mind, sense complex is conscious, sentient, active and functional. Therefore, the fact is, the body, mind, sense complex can never remain even for a fraction of a second without involving itself in activities. Okay? So, activities and functions on the material body, mind, sense complex is unavoidable, inevitable. They must be involved in activities. When the mind is functional, all the sense powers become functional, all the 10 powers are functional, then knowledge takes place, the body is active. All activities are there. When the mind is non-functional, then it is called deep sleep state, then body, mind is complex. Even then, there is a function of sleeping. There is act of falling asleep. Okay? There is still, even there's never a time body, mind and comp, even not doing anything also is an action only. Okay? There's always body, mind and complex is involved in some form of the action or the other. Unavoidable. Therefore, it is said, this person, Bashi, manasa sanyasyati, which means he renounces, he gives up his activities through the understanding of the fact that I am actionless consciousness implied by the term Atma. Okay, manasa implies here understanding, knowledge. He renounces mentally means he renounces cognitively, he renounces intellectually, which means he renounces through the understanding, the knowledge of the fact that I, the knower, am Atma, which is of the nature of actionlessness. I, the Atma, am actionless consciousness. Through this knowledge, he gives up. Okay? And such renunciation is not temporarily given up. Why? Atma is ever of the nature of actionlessness. Once you claim yourself being Atma, once you claim Atma as yourself, once you become objective towards your body, mind, sense complex, once you claim the all-pervasive consciousness, Atma, as yourself, then Atma is ever of nature of factionlessness. Therefore, this renunciation of actions through knowledge is not something new. It is eternal, timeless renunciation. Okay? Always. And this renunciation is not physically, outwardly, externally, nothing is given up. It's internally, mentally, cognitively, intellectually, through understanding, activities are given up. How? I am the doer, that notion disappears. I am the enjoyer, that notion disappears. Why? I sense is not identified anymore with the body, mind, sense complex. Okay? Therefore, if body, that we say, all the dharmas, not only the notions, I am the doer and the enjoyer goes, along with this, all wrong notions one entertains about the self resolve in the wake of the knowledge. That is why, even, suppose I am a mortal, I'm going to die, I'm small, I am insignificant, I am unhappy. All wrong notions resolve in claiming Atma to be oneself. Okay. Therefore, what happens? Then there's no disturbance. Okay. That's why even this morning I was discussing with our Tamil friends this Mrityunjaya mantra we chant. Even then, we do not pray for the attainment of immortality. We only pray for the knowledge in the wake of which we claim immortality as our real nature. We don't attain immortality. We are already immortal reality. Atma. How can immortal Atma become immortal? The already immortal, eternal, timeless reality, consciousness. Only you claim Atma, therefore what happens? Not for attainment of immortality, attainment of knowledge of the fact that I'm already immortal. That is why that Mrityunjaya Mantra is chanted. So all wrong notions resolve in the light of the teaching, in the light of the knowledge of what the self is. Okay. But what happens? Once the immortality, all wrong notions about the self resolve means, then the wrong notion caused fear of death, fear, anxiety, insecurity, the craving, all emotions, even the in fullness, the desires, likes and dislikes, hatred, anger, fear, all emotions also resolve. Not that they want to resolve, not that you push them away somewhere. All these emotions will resolve naturally once the perspective change takes place. I know where I am, consciousness, timeless, all-pervasive, actionless consciousness, that you cognitively claim, cognitively resolve the wrong notions, then all these emotions also, which are results, actually which are there only because of the wrong perception, in perspective change, all those emotions resolve, therefore there is no disturbance. You are not disturbed, agitated by fear, anxiety, anger, desires, likes and dislikes, jealousy, hatred. Oh, all of them disappear. Therefore, no sukham. Live comfortably without any disturbance, because in perspective change, they all disappear without being chased. Okay? You don't need to do. That is why you work very hard to undo. No, you don't need to undo anything. You can never give up anything. Anger, that's why all these things Swamiji used to say, if you don't study Shastram, people simply come and all these people come and advises. Give up anger, give up anxiety, give up fear, give up, anger. They say give up, give up, give up. Give up ahankara. My God. Again, the worst problem is what? Give up ahankara. They come and tell us. And we also make efforts to give up. How can we give up anything? We aren't holding on to anything. What Shastram says, they're all helplessly, naturally, they will be there as long as wrong perspective, wrong perception of the self is there. As long as you have the fundamental problem identifying yourself with the body, mind, and complex. And you can't give up identity overnight. You can't simply, I'm not the body. Not simply saying you are not the body. It must be appreciation of the fact that you are definitely all-pervasive, timeless, actionless consciousness implied by the term Atma. In the light of which you understand all that is also only Atma. That knowledge is a fact. What you are, the fact about what you are essentially, thereby what everything is essentially, that must be understood and assimilated. That comes how? Repeated listening will help you that. When that is there, then the perspective change happens without any effort, all of them resolve. When they resolve, what is there to disturb you? What is disturbance? Mental disturbance. You are burdened. You feel heavy mentally. You are loaded mentally. When you're disturbed mentally, when all these emotions rise. And you are so helpless. You are not creating them. They just rise. Jealousy hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, they all will be there. You are all helpless. We are all helpless. That's why all of us helplessly disturb all of us. Because we are disturbed our own emotions and we disturb others. Someone used to say, disturbed, generously disturb others. Okay? And here, so this person is free. Nothing can disturb him. They all reserve. Therefore, sukham aste. Where is sukham aste? Understand? This person is completely relieved of all emotional problems because they all resolve when the wrong notions resolve. The right perspective takes, the perspective change takes place, wrong notions resolve. Therefore, this person is free from all disturbances. He is sukham aste. There's no more mental burden. He becomes mentally very light. In fact, when the mind is very heavy, mind is disturbed, you feel very burdened. The disturbed mind is the burden. Burdened mind becomes a burden for the person. And then we want to get rid of the mind. And to get rid of the mind, we want to change the house, change the curtain, change the road, change the car, change the friends, change the husband, change the wife, change that and this. No? Why? Disturbed. You try to do all that. But whatever you change, your mind, you can change everything. What you cannot change is your mind. So before you were disturbed, the different house, the different person, the different place, the different comforts will be still be disturbed. Why? Disturbance is not anywhere else. It's all your mind. Manaha eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Poor disturbed mind. Therefore, the mental disturbance will resolve. The mind becomes calm and serene only when the emotions resolve. Emotions will resolve when perspective, all wrong notions resolve. Wrong notions resolve when perspective change takes place. Perspective change takes place when you claim what you are essentially, and a clear understanding is. Okay? That's why. Then once you there, then this person is what? Sukham aste. The person who has self-mastery, this vashi, without naiva kurvan na karayan, without involving himself in any activity, he performs all activities physically, but there's no notion that I am the doer, I'm the activator, I'm the instigator. No. So he's not involved in activities directly, nor is he involved in activities indirectly. Therefore, he does not do any action, which means for him, in his presence, in the presence of myself, in the presence of Atma, the consciousness, I, the Atma, the consciousness, in my presence, in the presence of consciousness, myself, body is alive, sentient, conscious, active and functional. Mind is functional. All this, the entire body, mind complex is active, functional. Therefore, so, what it implies, na kurvan, naiva kurvan, not acting, not doing anything at all, means he is not involved directly in any activities. Na karayati, Naiva karoti na karayati. He does not instigate, make, activate others. Okay. Therefore, it means there's no notion, I am making other people do. That notion also is not there. Why? Because Atma, all-pervasive reality, the consciousness, pure knowledge implied by the term Atma is the source of I, truth of I am consciousness, Atma. Therefore, Atma is not the doer, nor is the activator. Atma is na karta, naiva karayita. Atma is neither the doer nor the activator. Therefore, I am Atma. I am not with this person without notions. Without the notion, I am the doer. I am the activator. He is there without doing any, involving himself cognitively, associated himself with any of the activities without doing. Without activating, he is there. This person, with the person's understanding is there comfortably without any disturbance. Okay? Okay, we'll see the next verse. So how important it is for us to become objective towards our own body, mind, and complex, for which repeatedly, we must be able to distinguish I as the knower and thereby resolve that knower in discovering the fact what that knower is must become very clear. You know? Okay. Nakartrutvam nakarmani. That is why there's no such a thing called practicing afterwards. There's no experience afterwards. Understanding it, repeated dwell upon it, it must, you need only assimilation. There's no experience, okay? Knowledge cannot be, need not be followed by experience. Knowledge itself is freedom. You need assimilation, not experience. Okay, knowledge must be ascertained and assimilated. You don't need any experience. Nakartrut. I told you already all seven verses, all about Jnana Yoga only. It's all Jnana Yoga verses. The verses are associated with, pertaining to Jnana Yoga. Nakartrutvam nakarmani. Because the verses where the nature of the Atma is unfolded, reminded, those verses are the verses pertaining to Jnana Yoga verses. That's all. Nakartrutvam nakarmani lokasya srijati prabhu nakarma phala sanyogam Swabhavastu pravartate nakartrutvam nakarmani lokasya srijati prabhu nakarma phala sanyogam swabhavastu pravartate. Okay. So here, prabhu is the verb. It's a noun. Prabhu. Who is Prabhu? See, Prabhu means Prakarshena Bhati Iti Prabhu. Prakarshena Bhati. Bhati means shines. Second conjugation verb. Bha is the root. Ti is the affix. So, Bhati shines. And Prabhati means Prakarshena Bhati, means one who shines. How independently, one who is of the nature of self-effulgence, one who is of nature of self-existence, one who is of the nature of self-existence and self-effulgence is called Prabhu. And who is the Prabhu here? Atma, the consciousness. And his consciousness is the Swarupam of everything. Therefore, Ishwaraha, the Lord. Prabhu is a word. Atma, the consciousness. Consciousness, the reality, the consciousness. Which implied by the term Atma is the only Atma of everything. Is looked upon as Ishwara, the Lord. So Prabhu means the Lord. Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwaraha? There is no Ishwara other than Atma. Okay? The truth. Ishwara is essentially the reality implied by the term Atma. So Prabhu, the Lord, Atma, the Lord, he says what? Na srijati. Srijati means creates. Na srijati means does not create. Does not create what? Kartrutvam na srijati. Na kartrutvam. Prabhu kartrutvam na srijati. The Lord does not create doership, agency. Karta means agent, doer. Kartrutvam is a noun, agency, doership. Karta adjective, kartrutvam noun. Kartrutvam means the status of being the doer. The status of being the doer is kartrutvam, doership, agency. Karta, the doer, performer, or you can say agent. So, Prabhu kartrutvam na srijati. Lord does not create agency, the doership. Prabhu Karmani na srijati. The Lord does not create actions. Okay, for whom? For the people. Lokasya. Lokasya means for the world. So, Lord does not create Kartrutvam or Karmani of the world. Lokasya Karmani Prabhu na srijati. Lokasya Kartrutvam Prabhu na srijati. The doership or the activities, Lord does not create for the world. Then, Karma Phala Sanyogam Prabhu na srijati. Third thing. Prabhu karma phala sanyogam na srijati. Lord does not create even the results of actions. Sanyoga means union. Lord does not create the union with the results of actions, fruits of actions. Lokasya. For the world. So, Prabhu kartrutvam na srijati. Prabhu karmani na srijati. Prabhu karma phala sanyogam na srijati. He does not create these three factors of the world. Lokasya, of the world, or for the world. So, Prabhu லோகஸ்ய கர்த்ருத்வம் ந சிருஜதி, பிரபுஹு லோகஸ்ய கர்மாணி ந சிருஜதி, பிரபுஹு லோகஸ்ய கர்ம பல சயோகம் ந சிருஜதி. Lord does not create doership, Lord does not create actions, Lord does not create even the union with association with the fruits of actions for the world. Then why, how are they then? Why there is doership? Why there are actions? Why there is enjoyment of results of actions associated with the actions? Why there are results of actions? Why there are actions? How they are there? The answer is given. Swabhavaha pravartate. Swabhavaha tu pravartate. Lord does not create anything but they are there. How? Swabhavaha pravartate. Swabhavaha means, Swabhavaha here means prakritihi. Prakritihi means very nature. What is the nature in this context here? The ignorance, ajnanam, universally existing, the unmanifest power of reality is said to be universal ignorance. Okay, ignorance, pravartate, ignorance results in action, ignorance leads to action. Universal ignorance. Swabhavaha literally means nature. Apara prakritihi, the power of reality. Unmanifest power of reality, otherwise called universal ignorance, leads to action. Which means what? Nothing is created naturally, everything is. Doership, ignorance is natural, not created. Therefore, ignorance, okay, led. Doership is natural, actions are natural, results of actions associated with actions are natural, everything is naturally there, led by ignorance. Ignorance alone leads to actions. Which means nothing is created here. This is the literal meaning of the verse. What do you say? Prabhu, Ishwaraha, Bhagavan, Jagataha, Lokasya, Kartrutvam na Srijati, Karmani na Srijati, Karmaphala Sanyogam api na Srijati, Tu Parantu, Swabhavaha Pravartate. Even the Lord doesn't create them, the ignorance, the power of reality, in the form of universal ignorance, leads to activities, action, which means it is the unmanifest power of reality called Maya operates. Maya alone is in operation of everything. So Bhagavan Krishna here makes it very clear. Please understand, when I say Prabhu, it means Lord. Lord here implies Atma. Atma means what? All pervasive, only reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, implied by the term Atma, the only truth of individual as well as the total. That Atma is said to be Lord. Atma does not create anything at all. Okay? The one who is the Lord of everything. Atma is the Lord of everything. Therefore, is already made very clear, simple, which means, so Atma is not creating anything, means Atma doesn't have, Atma does not have Ahankaraha. So, who enjoys the status of being the doer? Who has the doership? Body enjoys the doership. Body has naturally the doership. It means body has the doership, means body enjoys the status of being the doer. Status. Body doesn't have the notion, I am the doer, okay? Body enjoys the status of being the doer. It's called doership. The body has the doership. Mind enjoys the status of being the doer. The mind has the doership. Kartrutva mind has, body has. Similarly, now, ahankaraha. What ahankaraha? The notion, even the I sense. Also naturally what now has the doership. Whereas the I sense has doership. But Atma is, Atma does not have ahankara. Atma does not have, Atma doesn't have notion that I am the doer. Notion is Atma. Atma does not have the notion, I am the Atma. Atma doesn't enjoy the status of being the doer. Atma is not at all responsible in any way. Okay? Therefore, Atma doesn't create doership. Means, what about the actions? Atma is not involved in any actions. Atma does not create, produce actions, nor does Atma create the objects of action, the results of action. Therefore, suppose for this action, for this result, even Atma does not even create, produce any connection between the performer of the action and the result of action. Karma phala sanyogam means connecting or joining the result of action with the performer of the action is called karma phala sanyogam. Such karma, Atma does not even create such a connection of the result of action with the performer of the action. So Atma does not even create the karta, the doer, does not create the action, does not create the sayoga, result of action, or the connecting the result of action with the karta also, performer also. Therefore, it means what? Atma does not do anything. If Atma doesn't do anything at all, then who is, how come there are actions? Somebody must be responsible. Something must be there which causes the actions. Bhagavan says, Swabhavaha tu swabhavastu pravartate. Which means, the physical body is material. Mind is subtle matter. Therefore, what is the intrinsic nature of the body? The intrinsic nature of the body is ignorance. Body is of the nature of inertness. Body is of the nature of ignorance. Physical body does not have the knowledge of the existence of itself. So physical body is of the nature of inertness, ignorance. Therefore, this intrinsic nature of the innate nature of the physical body, you know, makes the nature of the body, and intrinsic innate nature of the mind is what? Is to be active. Which means Atma is not involved in any activities, but still with the blessing of Atma, body, mind, sense complex is active. I have to say a few more things. I think it's time. Let me stop now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.